Fresh Air Community Radio is KFAI-FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul. Online and archived at KFAI.org, the community's true voice.
Magandang gabi sa inyong lahat, and welcome to the Filipino-American National News. I'm Alan Bunju. On tonight's show, we have a very special guest on the show. She is a person behind, when doing the research, I guess a movement of sorts, a phenomenal movement from what I can tell. She is a person behind a book that will be releasing very soon called Cake Picnic, and this is Alisa Sunga. Welcome to the show tonight.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm excited to chat about the book.
Where did this love for baking, cooking initially come from?
Yeah, so I grew up in Baguio, and my aunt and uncle owned a baking school called Cake World. And as a child growing up, I just remember them making such elaborate wedding cakes with fondant, multiple tiers. But at that time, I was too young to really recognize or appreciate what they were doing. To me, it just seemed like art that I couldn't really touch or eat anyway. So to me, it wasn't anything. It wasn't until I arrived in the United States in California in 2001 where I really started to eat more cake, brownies, donuts, and I think the American concept of dessert. But my love and experience in baking really started in March 2020 during the pandemic. During this time, everyone had more free time and were more at home. And so during that time, I joined the bandwagon of everyone baking sourdough bread and banana bread and just got into it. And that hobby just stayed with me. And I continued to bake. In April 2024, I wanted to eat a lot of cake, but I didn't want to eat all of that by myself. So I thought to myself, what if I put out an event invite and made it a requirement that everyone coming has to come and bring a full cake? That way I could eat a lot of cake and not have to bake, you know, 10 to 15 all by myself. I had no idea it would go so viral, so international, and even become such a term. Like now I'm in message boards and different social media platforms and everyone will just say cake picnic and know what it means. It's kind of like in the past where people would say, just Google it. I think cake picnic has become similar concept or word, which is such an honor and honestly something I didn't predict or know would come. So it's been such a wild journey.
It'll be crazy in some years if we look in a dictionary and that's an actual phrase or sentence or word we see in there. I guess it'll be a great honor in that aspect.
I'm going to add that to my bucket list and see if we could add that.
From doing the research about your story, the one thing I thought was kind of cool is with the whole cake phenomenon with Cake Picnic is the tagline, no cake, no entry.
Yeah, it was, I mean, I was very serious, right? I was like, you know, you can only come to this event if you're bringing a whole cake. Because I was a baker, that was very clear to me. But as the event started going viral, I was getting a lot of questions of like, can I bring a plus one? Can I bring my boyfriend? Do they also have to bring a cake? If I'm bringing my child, do they need to bring a cake? And I was just getting so frustrated because all of the details, you know, was explaining that everyone needed to bring a cake. So I just had to boil it down in the simplest terms possible of like, okay, people are not reading this. How can I get it across as simply and as directly as possible of if you're not bringing a cake, you can't come. So it's no cake, no entry. And it's really fun because it's a description and a tagline, but it's also just the motto of the event. It takes it very seriously.
And for our viewers and listeners out there that don't know the entire story or pieces of it, your story, you are located out in the Bay Area of California. And from hearing the story of how this came about, you had missed a particular dessert brunch of some sort, and you were looking to have your own sort of event that initially you thought, okay, it'll be really great if 10, 15 people came and then all of a sudden the floodgates just all of a sudden happened.
Yeah, so it was, you know, I think it was in terms of the Cake Picnic story and saga, it was I am a girl that wanted to eat a lot of cake and thought, okay, I have free will, let me take this into my own hands and start something, an event where I could eat all of the cake that came. And I think it just really, from the first Cake Picnic in April 2024, honestly, that day changed my life, the trajectory of my life. Every day since then, my emails and messages are a combination of like, please come to Seoul, come to Paris, come to Dubai, come to Malaysia, come to Uzbekistan, come to Sydney. And it's not my full-time job. And so as much as I would love to say yes to everywhere, I can't, but I do say yes to as many as I can. And so then the Cake Picnic as a tour was born. So the opportunity to go to LA, New York, Sydney, Melbourne, Mexico for the love of cake has been my life, honestly, for the last 2 years now.
Speaking of cake, what about cake draws you in to
what not to draw me in? I think with cake, there's, to me, all cake is an art form, right? So from the design of it, from the flavors, from the texture, the color, you know, every element of it, I think some cakes, depending on how advanced it is, there's going to be a mousse, a crunch layer, like a textural element. There's different decorating styles from like fondant, buttercream, airbrush. And so it's such an art form that people can get really creative with it. And it's a big project. Like when you make a cake, it's more than putting together cookie dough and baking it. It's actually such an involved process that takes multiple hours and even days. And so when you have such a big project like that, you then have such a big cake and you can't eat it by yourself. So the cake in itself as a dessert format is so shareable. You bring it usually to birthdays and to weddings. You don't necessarily or typically bake a cake and eat it by yourself. I think in its own nature, cake is something that you share. And I think with the cake picnic concept, it's really aligned with that because you bring this cake to the picnic and share it with strangers and friends. And so I think because it is such a big project, an involved project and an art form, it's something that naturally people want to share with each other. And it's so fun because it's almost like a cake exchange. And so I'll give you some of my cake and you'll give me some of yours. And what's great is people walk away from the event with, you know, you walk in with one flavor, but you're leaving the event having tried maybe like 20 to 30 different cakes. And that's one of the things I love most about Cake Picnic is when in your life can you ever eat like a red bean cake, matcha cake, corn cake, princess cake, mocha cake, ube cake, all in the span of like 10 seconds.
You're making me hungry, Lisa.
It's a cake buffet, you know? And so I think that, yeah, just saying all of those, I'm drooling now and I wish I had cake in front of me.
And once again, here on the Filipino American National News, we have the woman behind the movement and the now book, Cake Picnic, mm-hmm. Alisa Sunga. You mentioned earlier that this isn't the A job. You have an A job, which I think, in a way, it's almost perfect. That's what you do for a living, because how it relates to how you analytically think about things when it comes to cakes. For our viewers and our listeners that don't know, what is the other persona you're known as?
Yes. So outside of Cake Picnic, I am a program manager at Google. So I've been there for about almost 12 years now. And it's been such a good journey. And I think as a program manager, I think a lot about processes, operations, scaling, and event planning, a little bit of event planning. So a lot of those skill sets have definitely transferred over into Cake Picnic and have helped me do it. I don't think that if I didn't have these experiences from my day job, it would have been impossible to build Cake Picnic to be what it is today.
And you're found on a few different social medias, Instagram. You also have another thing that you're doing by on Instagram as well.
I'm quite prolific in the baking world. I think that my personality is very obsessive or hyper-fixative of when I like something, I really like to go in on it. And I think as a program manager, there's a sense of me of, you know, how do I organize all of these different projects in my life? And so from that, you know, when I started baking in March 2020, I needed a place to just post all of my baking. I didn't want to spam all of my friends and family of, you know, the 30 cakes and 20 cookies I was baking in a week. And so I just wanted a different outlet for that. So I created Salted Rye. So Salted Rye is my personal baking portfolio. Like, to me, baking is an art form. And so Salted Rye is where I bake and share kind of the recipes that I develop. And that's honestly where I started. And I think that that's the root home and base of Cake Picnic is honestly this woman that really loves to bake and just opened up an invitation to everyone around the world to come together. Along the way, I also started the Bucket List Bake Club. So that is a virtual club where every month my friend Karen and I, who we run it together, we will choose a prompt. So let's say, okay, this month the prompt is ube cake. During that month, everyone is welcome and free to bake any ube cake that they want and just share it with us and we'll repost it. And so it's a virtual community for people to get together and share inspirations, showcase, you know, the art that they're creating, and everyone is free to experiment. So sometimes with a prompt like ube cake, people will do a ube flan cake or an ube cheesecake. And it's just fun to see with a baking prompt or challenge like that, how do people interpret it and how do they add their own creativity and flavor to it? And then just cake picnic tour as well. So with those three, I think I cover a lot of baking communities. I think that there is so much connections to be made. And that's one of my favorite things about baking and sharing online is I've met some of my best friends in the internet, but also we've become close friends in real life now too. So it's definitely been a way for me to build friendships as well.
You spoke about going to different areas here in the States, being in London as a place where Cake Picnic had an event. Do you notice a particular love in those regions of a particular styles of cake or flavor that are lovable to their palates?
Yeah, that's such a good question. So I think what's really cool about doing something like a cake tour is seeing the regional diversity of cakes and just the obviously cultural and heritage cakes. So every country will have their own types of cakes. I think that as a baker in California in the United States, I see a lot of the same, you know, passion fruit cake, vanilla cake, chocolate cake. But when I travel to Cake Picnic, like let's say for example London, I was looking for red velvet and peanut butter cakes because I love those flavors. And I was quite surprised to see that there was no red velvet, no peanut butter. And actually the flavor profiles in London were more around Earl Grey, lavender, fresh fruit. And so in Mexico, it was a lot of passion fruit, coconut, mango. And so that's something I never considered before is, you know, what types of cake does each country have, what is their flavor profile like? And I think that because Cake Picnic Tour has become such a global phenomenon, being able to share these differences in cake style, cake flavor with on a global stage has been really cool.
I'm kicking myself because, you know, doing the research about you, you were here a week before my birthday last year at the Walker Art Museum in Minnesota for something with the in line with Betty Crocker. So I'm yes. Like, man, if I would have known, I would have definitely signed up for that event that you were at.
Yes. And so that's what's cool too with Cake Picnic is because it's such an organic community event and baking, you know, there's so many great products and partners. We were able to partner with Betty Crocker, which was amazing for me, just such a full circle moment because I started baking with the boxed cake mixes and I think they're so good. That we were able to visit Minneapolis with Betty Crocker, and that's where, you know, her home is. And I think without that partnership, we would have never been able to go to Minneapolis for a cake picnic. And so it's so amazing to me just kind of how far and how wide Cake Picnic can go. Because I think that as much as possible, I would love to take it everywhere.
I would say in the last 5 or 10 years, when it comes to the mainstream, people are getting more familiar with Filipino style cooking. And you mentioned earlier about ube. Do you think there's a flavor out there that might be the next big thing that's of a Filipino inspiration, maybe in the cake world?
I think in terms of Filipino inspiration, I've started to see a lot of more pandan flavored cakes. In Australia, we definitely saw a lot. I think that's maybe because there's quite a few Filipinos there as well. But I'm really excited for more pandan in the world. I think my parents come with me to most of the Cake Picnic tour stops. And whenever I look at their boxes, it's always like filled with as much ube as they can find, which is fun. But I think that's what's great too about Cake Picnic is being able to introduce these flavors to people that normally wouldn't bake it, right? Like if I'm a baker comfortable with chocolate and vanilla and I really like that, I'm not necessarily going to go out there and like try to bake an ube cake, but I can try it at a Cake Picnic and have that experience of, whoa, I really like this, or okay, not for me. So it's almost like a research and development event for bakers because you can try out flavor combinations that you would have never thought about yourself, or different decorating styles that inspire you. So it's almost like window shopping for different cakes that you would potentially want to make yourself in the future.
I listened to an interview where you said that your doctor said that maybe you needed to not be so much on the sweet side of it. So you spoke of different flavors. What is the, I guess, best thing or that you've tried out there that's been on the savory end of flavor?
Yes. Oh my gosh. So that's a trend that I've started to see more with the Cake Picnic Tour stops, is people will bring savory cakes. There's been quite a few, not as much as we probably would want, but some of the standout ones have been these like focaccia cakes. So tiered layers of focaccia bread sandwiched in between cream cheese frosting and salmon lox, dill, tomatoes. And so it eats like a sandwich, but it looks like a cake. And when you're at an event where there's literally hundreds of sweet cakes, sometimes you just want a savory bite of like salmon or cream cheese.
You spoke about your parents, the volunteers, your partner. What is their help in this whole movement of yours meant to you?
Yeah, everything. Honestly, so much of the Cake Picnic journey is thanks to the people around me that make it a reality. My boyfriend, Danny, is the co-founder of Cake Picnic and has been there since the first Cake Picnic. And it has changed along the way. In the beginning, it was going out to buying tables, hauling them to the events, picking up garbage. My mom and dad, you know, checking in attendees, putting out the garbage, washing the dishes at home, and just all of these little things that other attendees don't feel at the event. So it's definitely the behind the scenes. Thankfully, with the growth of Cake Picnic and learning the processes of event planning and being able to scale more, just understanding what I need to kill myself over and what I can actually have help with. So that's been really helpful. So every Cake Picnic, we've been partnered with nonprofits that volunteer to help support the day. And that has been incredible, just seeing community members come together and in community has been wonderful. But ultimately, like, Cake Picnic happens because people say, yes, I want to come stay, be outside and eat cake. I want to join Cake Picnic and help registration and things like that. Like, it's a labor of love. And I think with all of these different pieces coming together, that's what makes Cake Picnic possible.
I think one of the cool components about you and having a godmother who is a dental hygienist by trade, but is known here in Minnesota for her cakes, and my daughter's mom being a cake maker as well, is that especially during the pandemic, man, those cake boxes were hard to find. And the fact that you actually did something creative and something that also raised money for causes is something I must commend you for. How did you think about that as a way to tie in, you know, designing boxes and for those, along with the causes that you donated towards?
Yeah, I think 2020 for me was a year of reckoning. It was Black Lives Matter, George Floyd, and I think I was just empathizing and feeling with a lot of the social justice movements going on. And for me at the time, personally, in my bubble of the quarantine world, I was baking a lot and received guidance from my doctor of, okay, your cholesterol has spiked in the last couple of months. And maybe you don't need to eat all of this baked goods by yourself. And so it was this personal problem of like, I want to bake, but I can't eat all of it by myself. And then this idea of, I'm not an activist, but maybe I can fundraise using these bake sale items and share that with the world. It was very uncomfortable in the beginning because obviously I'm not a baker by trade. I don't own a store. It's literally just me. But I thought that the cause was worth it and just put it out there. I think it was more of, I felt really passionate about it. And I think in my own ways, I thought that doing something was better than doing nothing. And so I, every month, would curate a box of baked goods, bake them, and choose a different social justice organization each month to donate to. It was a way for me to challenge myself and I guess my audience to keep it in mind of like, oh, this cause is going on, or this is, I tried to choose organizations that were smaller too. I felt like NAACP and all of that, they were getting funding from elsewhere, but what about these smaller organizations? So it was a baking challenge of seasonally, monthly, what could I create and what was I interested in baking? But also on the social justice side of it, how could I choose, how could I research a different organization each month to donate to and just spread awareness and visibility on that cause with my audience and fundraise in the meantime? So I think I did that for 2 years monthly and raised, I think, around $30,000. So that was like a really great way to bake, but also give back to the community.
And before we let you go, what advice would you give out to other people there that are, you know, interested in getting into the food space? And I mean, the proficiency of how many things you were making, baking wise and cooking during the pandemic is crazy and commendable how many hours you spent on that. But what did you learn in that process, or what advice would you give to people who are trying to get into that space?
Yeah. Yes, I know that with everything I'm doing, it seems like I'm doing it real big. But honestly, my advice is to start small. I think with something like Cake Picnic, my goal wasn't, I want to do a cake picnic with 2,068 cakes. That wasn't my goal. It was literally, I wanted 10 cakes. And so even with my baking, it was, I want to bake this cookie, I want to bake this cake. And for me, it was just an incremental process that along the way I got more comfortable. So with baking, it was, I'm going to start with a cookie, I'm going to start with a loaf cake, and just the easiest things. Along the way, built up the confidence, the experiences, and the skill sets to be able to do more. And it wasn't until I was comfortable and knew what I was doing that I started to really dive into it. And same with Cake Picnic. I know that the record now that I've set is 2,068 cakes at one event, but it honestly started with, you know, a small goal, and it just kept getting bigger along the way. And I think that that's the only way it would have worked, is that starting small, feeling it out, and just adjusting from there. So that's the best advice I would give, is start small, build your confidence and experience, and then just feel it out. Do you want to do more? If not, you don't have to do more.
Being a Filipino and being from Minnesota, potlucks, we definitely love that out here. Yeah. So I know when I'm lucky enough to be in a town, or if you ever come back here, I will definitely bring the biggest cake box and definitely sample the many flavors out there. For everybody out there, when does the Cake Picnic book officially hit the bookshelves?
Yes, the Cake Picnic cookbook comes out on May 19th. So if you would like to bake cakes or learn more about the Cake Picnic journey, please check it out.
And before we let you go, where can the viewers and the listeners find more information about yourself and these things that you're interested in?
Yes. If you'd like to learn more about Cake Picnic, see all of the updates from all of the different tour stops around the world and see how many cakes we can continue to see. I've seen probably around 13,000 now. But if you'd want to see more, please visit us on Instagram at Cake Picnic Tour.
Well, Alisa, I'd like to thank you for joining us here on the Filipino American National News this evening. I hope that this whole journey is ever growing and you get to try many more interesting things along the way.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. To more cakes.
Till next time.
Till next time.
Thank you so much for coming on the show tonight.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for having me. I hope we'll make it back to Minneapolis. I'll let you know if we ever do.
Thank you.
Support for KFAI comes from the Hook and Ladder Theater and Lounge, presenting Turtle Island Voices Rising, an indigenous hip-hop, R&B, and spoken word showcase, Friday, May 29th. Featuring Jada Brown, Thomas X, Isabella Lopez, Tiklu and Mishomas, Day Days, DJ AO, and DJ Maracoya. a celebration to close out Minnesota American Indian Month, displaying talents within the Native American indigenous community. Performances will be recorded as part of KFAI's Live from Minnesota series, made possible by the State of Minnesota and the Arts and Cultural Heritage Legacy Amendment.